Here in Goiás, we are blessed because, first of all, it is one of the most important grain-producing states in Brazil. The second point, the poultry and swine industry moved fastly to this region because of the weather conditions. Here is hot and dry, and it's easy to control the environmental, internal environment in the feed hut, the poultry houses.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Kemin invites you to optimize animal feed quality and safety with our portfolio of solutions. Learn more at kemin.com/AG. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge.
Welcome to the Feed Science Podcast brought to you by WiseLetics. I'm Carlos Cavadal from Kansas State University, dedicated to bring you the latest insights and discussions from the feed science industry. Please get ready to expand your knowledge and stay ahead with today's episode. So today, it is a great pleasure to have as a guest, Professor Jose Enrique Stringhini. He's a full professor in poultry nutrition from the Department of Animal Science at the Veterinary Medicine and Animal Science College of the Federal University of Goiás. So, Professor, it's a pleasure having you here, and it's welcome to the Feed Science Podcast. And if you please can just tell for the audience a little bit about yourself and your background.
Okay. Hi, Carlos. I'm really pleasure to be here with you. I'm a professor for 33 years in the University of Goiás in the central part of Brazil. And I'm working with poultry, especially broilers and laying hens, and some experienced breeders. The idea is to talk a little bit about our Brazilian experience and what we are doing in poultry feeds and nutrition.
Perfect. And I know the audience will be very excited to hear on what you're going to be saying today, and especially to understand well the poultry and the feed industry from Brazil. And I know that you have a lot of experience from research, academic, and also international. So this is also very good. So just to get to know you a little bit, Professor Jose, if you don't mind, just tell us a little bit how your career, how do you end up there in Goiás for 33 years being a professor?
Oh, yes, 33 years. Yes, it's a long time. Yes, I started here with 28. I was 28. And it's a very different experience because Brazil is a huge country. We say a continent. Brazil is a continent. Yes, from the south to the north, you can walk 5 to 6,000 kilometers. And it's very different atmospheres that you find in the country. But here is a very important grain, especially soybean and corn producers. The state is one of the biggest in beef cattle production, in sorghum. And we produce a lot of cotton seed and other different agricultural systems that we can use in this region in Brazil. It's we call Cerrado. Cerrado is the central region of Brazil. It's like a savanna. If you compare to any bioma in the world, and it's very, very good for agriculture. We have a good weather, a good soil, and we adapted some systems of cropping the seeds. And now Mato Grosso, that is in the side of the Goiás, Mato Grosso and Goiás are the biggest grain producers in Brazil. Brazil will have maybe one of the best grain production in this history now, this year of 2025.
Yes, I understand. And I personally haven't been to Goiás or the Mato Grosso, other parts of Brazil, mainly in the south, but definitely huge country with a lot of very good agriculture on the grain side. So thinking about your work on the research and everything that you have contributed to the industry, if you could kind of tell us a little bit to understand Brazil, what are the main feeding ingredients or feedstuff that are used currently in the poultry industry, both for layers, broilers, whatever it is that you want to tell us a little bit about it?
I will talk about my experience, but I know that Brazil maybe is a very important country in poultry industry and poultry research. Every meeting that we go anywhere in the world, we can find Brazilians presenting their speeches, their conferences, and their papers too. That's very interesting. Here in Goiás, we are blessed because, first of all, is one of the most important grain producers states in Brazil. The second point, the poultry and swine industry moved fastly to this region because of the weather conditions. Here is hot and dry, and it's easy to control the environmental, internal environmental in the feed hut, the poultry houses, and of course pig houses, but we're talking more about poultry. Because it's dry, in June, July, August, September, the humidity goes to 20-25%, and it's easy. You put water in the house, you can make the weather very, very comfortable for the broilers and for the laying hens. The feedstuffs, of course, is corn and soybean meal, is the most important. But we use a lot of sorghum, and there's some millets that are available in the region. We have another protein sources, especially the animal feed, feedstuffs, meat and bone meal, visceral meal, and other and poultry byproducts in general. And it's used on most of the companies now in this moment.
Great. And this is very good information for our audience. Please, if you have any questions, comment section here of the podcast, and we'll be sure to get those questions to the Professor Jose. I'm a little bit curious. You know, I'm located here in Kansas, in the United States, where it's similar in a way to Goiás in terms of maybe not that much on the weather, but on the grain production. And we do grow a lot of sorghum. So just to kind of understand a little bit, is there any preference from the poultry farmers to either sorghum or corn or any other grain? Do they see any differences between them? I mean, I'm pretty sure they buy by price and availability, but your comments from production nutrition perspective.
When you talk with the nutritionists that work with poultry here in the state, of course, for broilers, the broiler nutritionists prefer sorghum than corn. Here in the region, sorghum is very safe. We have low contamination of different, for example, mycotoxins, because you produce the sorghum in the middle of the year. Don't forget, we have the South Hemisphere. Then now it's for you. Is springtime, we are in autumn, exactly the opposite. Then in the final autumn, in the beginning of winter, we have harvest sorghum and corn in this region. The biggest corn and sorghum harvesting is in the middle of the year here in Brazil. Then it's good because the humidity is low. We don't have too much problems with mycotoxins, especially with sorghum compared to corn. But the difference in corn and sorghum are the productivity. Yeah? Corn produces double in the same area compared to sorghum. And this is the reason that we produce a lot of corn in the middle of the year. We harvest soybean in February, March, and we plant extra in the same time that we are harvesting the soybean. We are planting the corn and the sorghum that will be harvested in June. This is very good, very good quality. Of course, it's different from the American corn. We have different cultivars because we need to adapt our genetics for the weather of Brazil. But it's a very good quality. It's not hard corn. It's a semi-hard, like middle hard. Yes, that's used here in the region. Now is about protein levels from 7.5 to 8.5 in corn, and in sorghum about 8 to 9% of protein to have can say for you a middle information that classic that everyone will understand.
Perfect. And would that sorghum, how's the tannin level there on that sorghum in your region? Would that be high, low? How does that, what is it in terms, because I know that high tannin level might be not as good for poultry.
Of course, you're right. But here we don't have the extremely low tannin levels. I can say for you, it's about 0.2, 0.15 of total tannins level. That's very safe for the people that produce in the meat and the field. Because the attack of birds, here we have a lot of birds that love sorghum too, yes? And this is the region that the tannins are a little bit, we cannot say middle, but it's 0.15 to 0.25 about this. That's safe for broilers and laying hens, but you don't lose a lot with the bird attacks in the field, yes? This is the region. But we have low tannin and high tannin sorghum, but it's not so common in our region here. Goiás is the biggest sorghum producer in Brazil. But we have a problem. Because the people that produce cattle, yes, they love the feedlots. They love to use high concentrate diets for feedlots. And the sorghum is a competition in between poultry, swine, and feedlots. And normally, the sorghum is cheaper. It's really cheaper compared to corn. And sometimes depends on the amount of the feedlots we have in the state. We have about 25 to 30 million animals in feedlots here in this region. And sometimes it's a huge competition.
When you say 20, 30 million, is big anywhere.
Yes, of course. I can't say to you that we are far from the Amazon region. Here, if I want to go to the Amazon, I have to say for you, I have to drive about 1.5 to 2,000 kilometers to go to Amazon. Yes, we are very far from Amazon. And this is, it's quite different. This is a, kind of safe for you. Brazil is a continent. Like USA. USA is big too, but Brazil is a continent. Yes. Sometimes the people don't have idea what are really the Brazilian biomass here.
Wow, that's very impressive and very happy to see that. I'm a big supporter of sorghum, being Kansas, one of the top state, usually with Texas, producing sorghum in the United States, and we like to promote it a lot. So I'm happy they're doing it in other countries too. I was aware that Brazil grows it, but not in those numbers that you're mentioning. But for our audience, please, if you learned something today, please share the video. We appreciate that from our everybody that is seeing us today.
Just to say more about sorghum. It's interesting here in Brazil that sorghum is produced just after soybean, because soybean is a plant that fixes the nitrogen in the soil. And this is very interesting for sorghum and corn. Yes, we can harvest sorghum and corn with a low inclusion of fertilizers in the soil. This is maybe cheaper to produce after soybean and in the middle of the year than to produce corn and sorghum in the, we say, the first harvesting time. Well, did you understand?
Yes.
The soybean is very rich in nitrogen in the soil, and this is very good for sorghum and corn in the second harvesting.
It makes it more sustainable overall to do that rotation.
Yes.
Perfect.
If you have, I don't have photos here, but there is photos, and then you have the machines harvesting soybean, and exactly after this, some meters after the owner that is seeding the corn or sorghum. That's very interesting that you see see in the fields here in central part of Brazil.
That's very interesting and very impactful, of course. So That's very good. So as we continue our conversation, we have heard about corn, sorghum, different feed ingredients that are grown there. And what would you be overall, let's talk about quality. Quality of those feed ingredients, and what would that be what the Brazilian feed mills are looking, and what are those strategies they're trying to implement, thinking about different feed ingredients?
I can say for you that we are very professional in feed mills in Brazil, yeah, especially in poultry industry. The NIRS is very, very, you can find very equipment in the most important feed mills in here in the central region. I can say for you that because it's a brand new systems, that we move it from the last 20, 25 years from the south of Brazil and to the central part of Brazil, this makes this region very modern in production, in facilities, in feed mills. And the nutritionist, normally when you go to the feed mill, you find a nutritionist that has his master and PhD, is very prepared to do the work that is in change, is doing. Yeah, all the most of the companies have the NIRS systems in they can control the quality before mixing the ingredients. And some of the feed mills here has the NIRS in line that has the control, the immediate control of the quality of the feeds before mixing, before the mixer, before the big mixer that they use here. That's a very modern system. And of course, I'm in university. Sometimes we have some some courses or some conferences or some meetings that we do with the people here in the field, and they change with us very important experience, and we gave them the results of the research that we run here at the university. We have a big facility here that it's a regular broiler facility that we put the boxes inside of this and try to mimic the real situation on the environment of broilers. Yes, this is very good with a very good result.
Perfect. That's production is mainly broilers, but is there also a layer production there in Goiás or?
Yeah, no, we have here. Maybe in the central part in Mato Grosso, we have layer farm that's 6 million hands. Yes, the very automatic systems and very modern ones, but caged ones. Yes, we have layer free cage layer systems in especially in São Paulo, close to the big cities, close to Rio, close to São Paulo, to Brasília and Belo Horizonte. To attend some people that doesn't want caged hens. But we have the both systems all over Brazil. Maybe 80-85% are caged yet. But the system, cage-free, is growing faster in the country because of the consumer pressure, yes?
Absolutely, yes.
We have here in the state the both systems. Yes, we can find, if you want an egg, or brown egg, or from a cage-free, you have a white egg with cage-free, we find, and caged ones, we find eggs from every time of those systems here, organic and so on.
So definitely a very big industry, and yes, of course, consumer trends have caught up now. Some people want cage-free, of course, and we see that in different parts of the world, and it is a big trend now.
I believe in egg production, we are maybe the fifth or sixth biggest producer in the world. Yes. We are between eight and six. It depends on the time because the egg production fell down a little bit in Brazil, but now it's going up again.
Okay.
Because we are exporting eggs. But to export just 1-2%, no more than this, of the total production.
And on the what will be the percentage on the broiler side of the exports?
In broiler, the exportation is 35% of total production in Brazil.
That's pretty big.
We are the third in the world, I believe. I'm not sure. I believe the first is USA, the second is China, the third is Brazil. But the biggest exporter is Brazil.
Yeah. And that takes us a little bit to, we talk about sorghum and the corn and soybeans. What do you suggest for our viewers or in the feed industry? Another good alternative is to improve ingredient quality. What other good sources of ingredients do you find out there that will be helpful for poultry nutrition?
Of course, you have a big number of alternatives. It depends on the region. Here, as I said for you in the beginning, we are blessed because we have lots of possibilities here. Yes, we are corn and soybean, the biggest producer are Mato Grosso and Goiás in Brazil, and Paraná, that's in the south. But it's interesting that we can find different alternatives, depends on the parts. We studied sorghum, is maybe one of the best one. The rice byproducts we can find here too. You can imagine, but we can find wheat byproducts. We have some cultivars of wheats that are adapted to hotter climates. Yes, we can produce here because some parts of the state is above 1,000 meters above the sea, and the temperature is a little bit cold, not cold exactly, but some cultivars are adapted. We can irrigate the wheat and produce wheat in the dry season here. And you have the possibility to have these byproducts too. And of course, the animal byproducts, yes, because Brazil is the biggest beef producer in the world, the biggest exporter of beef. We have the byproducts of this industry. And the poultry industry, of course, the Vistra meal and feather meal, and we have lots of here to use. If you have a good quality, a good NIS in your company, and you control the quality of these products, oh, they are safe a lot. I don't believe that you don't need to add.
Okay, yeah, and so
I just want to complete what I'm talking about the ingredients. Yes. With the possibility of having different additives like enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and of course, mycotoxin binders, that's very important products, you have a great possibility to use lots of alternative feeds, and you have this possibility. Brazil is a big cottonseed producer too. All of the cotton seed are used straight to the beef cattle, and milk too, but much more than beef cattle, because it's very cheap, it's very good for cattle, but not so good for poultry or pigs. Then we have the cotton seed meal, but it's not common here in the central part of Brazil, but more common in the northeast region. The quality, the level of fiber are a little bit high, and you have lots of difficulty to put in the diets, but a good alternative too.
Good. Very good information. And for our audience, please like us. Give us a good thumbs up for today's podcast. So, Professor, you were talking about cottonseed as an ingredient in the industry. Can you talk a little bit more about on my thinking of the use of fiber in poultry diets specifically? I'm not 100% sure if I remember that cottonseed has a high fiber content compared to other ingredients, but tell us a little bit about it, about the benefits of the use of fiber there in broilers, layers, and breeders.
I believe the history of the fiber, it's like the Bible. When you say the Bible is before Christ and after Christ, yes? Yeah. And I believe fiber is before enzymes and after enzymes. Yes, you have different concepts that you have to understand. First of all, all of we learned about fiber is crude fiber, NDF, or neutral detergent fiber, acid detergent fiber, von Soest systems, and cellulose, lignins. But now I believe with the enzymes, we have to think about the insoluble fiber and soluble fiber. That's a concept that is used for humans. If you see any kind of human feed, you see the specification of insoluble and the soluble fiber. This maybe could be a very good information for, especially for poultry. Because the enzymes are very good for soluble fiber. Yes? They're soluble too. But if we imagine that the digestion time of a poultry, a broiler, is no more than 6 hours, you need to be a very potent enzyme to digest cellulose in order to attend the part of the energy needs of a broiler, for example, or of a laying hen. In ruminants, we think about 48 hours to digest cellulose, and we don't have this time in poultry.
Yes.
And I believe fiber has very good use if you believe that you can feed the animal with the use of enzymes to produce energy, of course, and you have the feed, or depends on the amount of soluble fiber used and the type of soluble fiber you use to feed the microbiota. That is one of the most important points that we have to think about from now on. Yes, we have problem the use of maybe the prebiotics. Yes, are very important if you think about this concept of soluble fiber, the feeds of microbiota. I believe it's a little bit. So we can talk about 1 hour, 2 hours about this. Yes, it's a very interesting concept.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Yes, we tested here two sources of fiber. This is wheat bran. Yes, compared to the sugarcane bagasse.
Okay.
The sugarcane bagasse very, very rich in cellulose. We tested it for laying hens for pullets. Yes, with a very good result, seen especially when we compare the one that didn't have the bagasse in the feed, maturity of the intestines, especially in the end of the pullet time when the transition to the laying hen. Is a wonderful because we have a very strong and very can see physiologically mature intestine to prepare for the egg into the laying period. That's very interesting opportunity to have to use. Bagasse is more rich than of cellulose compared to the wheat bran.
It's time for our famous three.
Evonik Animal Nutrition is committed to ensure food security and safety while reducing the ecological footprint of animal farming. Its products and services use evidence-based solutions that seek to promote animal welfare and reduce reliance on natural resources. All this is underpinned by long-standing industry partnerships and deep customer understanding. Evonik's focus on efficiency, sustainable, healthy nutrition, and collaborations with livestock farming partners creates value for customers and consumers.
Thank you for that information. It is always very interesting overall to learn. Professor, it's been a pleasure having you in this podcast. We're coming to the end of it, and I'm pretty sure we could do more of this topic and in future episodes. I know that the audience will be very interested to continue learning. But before, overall, we leave this podcast, we always like to ask our guests like you today if you could kind of help us guide on any recommendation on a specific food related to this topic on poultry nutrition, ingredients, the use of fiber, or it could be a resource, a website, anything that you could guide maybe somebody to learn more about it.
I don't have a specific one to talk about, especially about the feed ingredients of fiber, but I understand that maybe one of the best information sources that we have is the Brazilian tables, that we have Brazilian tables of feeds and animal poultry and swine requirements, that maybe we have one of the most interesting sources for feed composition. Yes, this is available in English, Spanish, and Portuguese for the ones that are interested in. And I believe it's a very good source that you can find there a very good composition of ingredients. I believe it's 110 ingredients that are listed and tested by the University of Souza in the central here in Brazil. And I believe this is a very good source for consulting one. We have a PDF free that you can find in the university. That's perfect. For me, in my opinion, of course. Yeah.
And I'm aware that those tables, Brazilian tables, are used worldwide. So I could definitely agree on that. Thank you for that information. And then also, besides poultry, if you have to recommend one of your students a specific book or resources so they could succeed in their careers, any type of book or resources, what would you recommend them?
In Brazil, normally, of course, international is poultry science, is maybe one of the best. But you have the possibility to find some commercial companies that has very good information. For scientific information, we have in Brazil a big, it's not exactly a website, but it's a platform that we join all the scientific and technical magazines. That's free available for the Brazilian students.
Oh, okay.
I believe American universities has this possibility to students.
Yeah.
Yes. The Brazilian government pay for the Ministry of Education, and we have the access of maybe of the main, most important poultry magazines, poultry journals, scientific journals, technical in the world. I always recommend my students to see poultryscience.org. That's the Poultry Science Association.
Yes.
And WPSA is a very good one that I recommend that, of course. And I don't have the, I can serve for you. For me, any information is very, very good. The companies has very good possibilities to share information. I remember now that there is one website, this feedipedia.org, I believe. Feedipedia, that is hosted by INRAE from France.
Yes.
That you have the, I researched that about 1,500 different feedstuffs in the world. For me, it's very rich information that you have there.
Yes. Yeah?
Feedipedia. Then, internet is,
yeah.
You don't have, you have a lot of opportunities on internet. This is the main ones that I love to recommend.
Perfect. And this is great information. And once again, thank you very much, Professor Jose, for joining us today. And with that, this concludes another episode of the Feed Science Podcast presented by Wisenetics. Thank you for our audience for joining us today. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and stay updated for future episodes. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. Your feedback is very valuable for us. Until next time, this is Carlos Campabadal from the Feed Science Podcast signing off. Thank you very much.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.